a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard. Life used to be so hard.
Are you in search of a house for your family in Saskatoon, Regina, any other community in the province? It's tough picking these days. I know for a lot of Saskatchewan, listings are down, prices are up. It's very competitive in a lot of the markets. You're wanting to buy a home. We're joined right now by Gary Bush. Gary is the owner of Century 21 Fusion. They've got offices in Saskatoon, Prince Albert, Humboldt, Regina, and Swift Current. And Century 21 does this survey where they call it their annual price per square foot survey, where they take this look each year at prices for the first half of the year in more than 50 communities across Canada. And it's always interesting to get a look at some of that data. So we'll check in with Gary for an update on this information. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Century 21 with this survey, what are you seeing overall? I'm guessing, you know, we know the market's tight in Saskatchewan. How are the prices holding up?
Well, it's a survey that we do every year, so it's always interesting to see the trends that we're working on. But yeah, over the last couple of years, Saskatoon has boomed even more than it has been before. So we've never really slowed down since mid-2020, things started to pick up, and it's really continued to go. And the last year or two has really started to spike to the point where you're referring to, it's multiple offers on many of the homes. Not all of them, but the majority of them are getting multiple offers, or they're selling within the first week or two in Saskatoon. That's where the hottest market is for sure.
Definitely. What about other areas around the province? Are they seeing it as busy as Saskatoon, say?
It's still selling quickly, not as much of the what we call a presentation of offers, where you leave the house available for a couple of days and then present the offers in a couple of days. But they're still selling within the first week, which in the real estate market, when our average sale price, our average days on market is usually 30 plus days, you know, we're getting offers within the first 7 days. That's a pretty brisk market. You kind of have to be on your toes for sure to be able to get the right one.
So what's driving all this? Because I know in a lot of the other centers that you survey, prices are coming down. Not so much the story here.
Yeah, when we have our meetings, we talk about this nationally all the time. And, you know, Alberta's kind of busy, but Saskatchewan, Manitoba are extremely busy. And immigration has been the big thing. I mean, we saw this over the last few years with our schools and our healthcare. We just had a lot of people move into our province over the last little while that we just weren't ready for. And so the housing market was no different. We don't have enough roofs over the head for all the families that are moving in, and they're moving in. It's mostly immigration. And so, you know, in the early 2020 plus, a lot of the Chinese community was moving here. But lately it's been a lot more, I'll refer to it as more of the war-torn countries, the Ukraines, the Afghanistans, the Iraqs, the Irans, et cetera. And when they're coming to Canada, they can't afford to go to Toronto. They can't afford to go to Vancouver. They've priced themselves basically out of it. So we have jobs here. We have had housing, and we're one of the cheapest housing in Canada. And it's Saskatoon. It's a great city. And so they've been moving here in great numbers, and we're just catching up and trying to build as many houses as we can.
That's the key, isn't it? How soon do we go from a low volume of homes available to maybe getting to a surplus again? This isn't something that's going to be solved overnight, is it?
No, most of the experts in the banking industry and everything that analyzes our economy is saying this is at least another 1 to 2 years in Saskatchewan before we can even catch up to what we've got. We can't build single family homes fast enough. A lot of the builders are building big multi-unit family complexes to try and keep up as well. And like, if you're in the trades right now, everyone's searching to find help. So it's a self-perpetuating thing. We build more houses, we need more people. We need more people, we need to build more houses. And so, you know, the trades are full. They are requiring more people, and so they're bringing more people in from other cities and countries. And of course, we have the BHP out in the Humboldt Janssen area, which is driving a lot more people, and they've just announced again that they're investing even more. So that's going to continue to drive people into our economy, and that means jobs, and jobs mean people, and that means housing.
Gary Bush is our guest on this segment of the Evan Bray Show, talking about their recent survey where they look at the numbers in 50 communities across the country, Century 21's annual price per square foot survey. Are there markets out there where prices are dropping considerably, Gary? Not in Saskatchewan, clearly, but other areas?
Not in Saskatchewan. Everybody's holding pretty good. Definitely the Ontarios and the Vancouvers are definitely seeing price drops. Saskatchewan, we're the tortoise in the hare scenario. We're the tortoise in this group. We always have a nice steady increase in, and we never have those, 20% jumps and 30% drops. And where the Torontos and the Vancouvers, they have those massive increases and decreases. We don't really have much for that when it comes to our pricing. So we're very stable, but we do steadily increase on a regular basis as well.
It's interesting. I spend a little bit of time cruising around social media to see what people are talking about. And I know I was on Reddit the other day and I was surprised by the number of people who were asking, what's it like to live in Saskatoon or Regina? Mm-hmm. We're thinking about moving there because we can't afford a house. And then what you were talking about, the trades, I saw someone else say there's a shortage of framers here. If you can swing a hammer, this is the place to be. So there's a lot of real positives tied to this, isn't there?
Absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned the framers. I work with a builder and they can't find a framer to build their next house. Like, it is, they're booked solid for everybody that's there. They're hoping that someone cancels a job so that they can steal somebody to get them in for a little while. And, I met a nurse in at City Hospital a while ago and they came up from Vancouver and I said, well, why'd you come here? She says, well, we came for a wedding. We saw how beautiful it was and we went to their house and they're like, you can buy this house for 500 grand. We can't buy this house for $1.5 million. And so we could never afford it. So the two of them were in the healthcare industry. They both got jobs in Saskatchewan. And I said, you do realize that, January gets a little bit colder. He goes, oh, that's what WestJet's for. No problem. So because the sunshine in Vancouver, they don't get sunshine for weeks at a time.
Oh, I
know. And so he commented on the weather and he says that the house pricing was the big factor for them, that they would never be able to afford to own their own house in Vancouver. Even at healthcare wages, which is a good wage, they could not afford it. And here they live in Saskatoon now, and they can afford a house, and they can do things that they would never be able to do there.
So certainly very good news for anyone considering selling a home. It's challenging for buyers, and I know we've all got stories of especially maybe young couples who get it pre-approved for a certain amount, and they go make their bid or make their presentation on the offers, and they walk away heartbroken because it's just so competitive and multiple bids coming in on some of these homes.
That's correct. Yeah. And it's not in all price ranges, but it's more in the lower price ranges, which is where the higher demand is for sure.
Yeah.
But what that's doing is it's making people, instead of maybe getting in one area that they wanted to, they might have to go to a slightly different area, which has slightly lower prices. So, and then, the Warmans, the Martinsvilles, the Langhams, Delmanys, Asquiths, et cetera, the surrounding properties. Like even in Humboldt, it's not so much the Humboldt, it's the smaller towns around Humboldt that are benefiting a lot because the Humboldt has got a lot of pressure on it as well. So instead they'll go to the smaller towns. They'll go where the houses are available because again, we have nice smaller towns as well. And that's kind of what Saskatchewan's famous for, is having nice, friendly, small towns.
So with that, someone listening to you saying, boy, I better get in on this. I want to buy a house. Any advice as to, make sure maybe they've got a shot at buying one of these homes that's in this hot market?
Getting pre-approved is the big thing and locking in. Our interest rates are actually fairly low when you consider historical values. So if they can get in and get qualified with a bank and make sure that qualification is solid, then they can go and buy a house and know that, like, not every house goes at the auction, if you want to call it the presentation of offers. So be patient, find the one. You may go through a house or two before you find the right one for you, but we'll get you a house. There's new ones coming on the market. There's more that have come on the market in the last few months than we've had in a long time. But, there's actively at any given time right now a little over 600 homes for sale that you could actually put an offer on right now. And that normally should be 1,000 to 1,200. So we're at about half of what we normally are. But more and more people are going, hey, maybe it is a good time to sell. So they got to put them on the market before they buy something. Finding something is harder than selling, for sure.
Is there a danger for buyers that get a little too desperate desperate in a situation like this where they start taking deals such as no conditions and maybe buying a sight unseen? You know, they see it online and they buy, or they say, well, I'll buy without a home inspection. Is there a danger in that?
There is, yeah. We went through this in 08 when we went through this scenario as well, where people start getting in, you know, no conditions. And most of the offers that do come in, lots of them do have conditions. They still have their financing. Lots of them are still doing a home inspection. A few that aren't, yeah, they're definitely taking a risk. You know, in condos, the risk isn't quite as strong when there's no home inspection, but there's definitely things that pop up in condos as well. And we're getting a lot of new homes that are being sold too, so we don't traditionally get as many people doing home inspections on new homes. Right. But that's always a risk that you run. And of course, you know, if you're financially sound, you don't have to make it subject to financing, but it's a really good idea. And the same with home inspections. I mean, 25 years ago, we didn't do home inspections. We didn't even know what they were. So, you know, that we always took that risk of the buyer beware, but now probably 90% of the homes have home inspections. In the last few months, obviously, that's been something that they kind of take their risk on, but you can still make it, you can still get a home inspection done. You just don't have to make it conditional to it. And then you kind of know what you're getting yourself into and have that 4-hour inspection and make sure you know what's going on in that house.
You were talking about Saskatchewan's real estate market kind of being the tortoise as opposed to some of the other markets. But, you know, years ago, we used to see different times of the year. Summertime usually wasn't so busy because everybody was on holidays. Do you see the demand for homes being more constant now year round?
Yeah. So, you know, March of 2020, obviously the world changed, and about April, May, we started to really get busy. And our traditional market, you know, January and February were slower. March through June would be busy. July, August would slow down till about mid-September. September through October would be busy. And then November, December, January, February would be our slow months. Well, since mid 2020, we have not slowed down. It is full out. The agents are going crazy. Like they might have 6 or 7 buyers at any given time, and they might show houses and write 6 different offers before they finally get one. You've got to be, you know, because not all people do presentation of offers. So some of these houses, you got to be ready. If it comes on the market at noon, you better be there before 1 or 2, because it might be sold by 3 type of thing. So they're always on call kind of thing. So you definitely have to talk to your agent and get comfortable with where the market is right now.
Gary Bush, thanks so much for your time today. Some interesting information on the state of the real estate market, more so Saskatoon, but as you say, all over Saskatchewan. Still some very reasonable prices out there compared to other markets across the country. This is the place to be. Thanks, Gary.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Gary Bush, Century 21, talking about their recent survey of 50 centers across Canada and how Saskatchewan is doing very, very well, but also very challenging for a lot of people who are anxious to get a home right now in these very hot markets. Brent Lauks with you. Happy to be on the Evan Bray Show, filling in today and again tomorrow on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Good morning. Yes, Brent Lauks with you till 12:30 today on the Evan Bray Show. I was just looking over the results from the by-election in Alberta yesterday. And this group, you know, that brought out the longest ballot, and this was the longest ballot in Canadian election history with a total of 214 names on it. 10 of them were what I would call legitimate candidates. 204 of them were people that joined this group and put their name on the ballot. Apparently, a lot of these people don't have any friends or family that like them because a very large number, I can't even begin to count them all here. They've got the entire list of candidates and how many votes they got. But a very large number of them didn't get a single vote. You couldn't even go cast a ballot in your own name or get your spouse or your friend. And then there's quite a number of them did just that, apparently. And quite a number of them have just one vote. A few of them have two, there's a good number have two, and then 4, 6. It goes up to about 7 or 8. Let's see here. What's the highest? Well, it looks like one independent in that group, three of them had 11 votes. But then out of the legitimate party candidates, We know that Pierre Poilievre got nearly 41,000 in the count that most recent count. He had just over 80% of the votes, which was pretty close to what Damian Couric got in the federal election. We had Couric on the show yesterday. He was the conservative MP in that riding in Alberta that stepped down, allowing Pierre Poilievre to run in the by-election. And in the federal election, Damian Couric had about 82%. Poilievre had, as I say, just over 80% of the votes, it looks like right now. So for those people, I know we had a guest on yesterday from the long ballot group, and he said, well, maybe their influence would see Poilievre have a weaker majority. Nah, he got lots. We're going to have Andrew Scheer joining us here on the program a little bit later on this morning. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk a little bit about that and other political subjects with Brian Lilly. Of course, Brian, you hear often on the Evan Bray program, a political columnist for the Toronto Sun. I said it earlier, we'll be talking Carney, canola, and the state of Canada on the world stage when Brian Lilly joins me here coming up just after the news. Oh, and for the people that were praising Bonnie Critchley, you know, the strong woman independent that ran against Poilievre, she came second, but nowhere near. She only got 9% of the vote. She had just over 5,000 ballots cast her way. The Liberal candidate had 2,100. The New Democrat had just over 1,000. United Party of Canada had 770. PPC, the People's Party, had a candidate in there, but he only got 137. The Green Party had 116. The Libertarian candidate got 102. The Christian Heritage Party had 91. One independent in there did get 53. The Marijuana Party actually got 41 votes in the election, the by-election yesterday in eastern Alberta. So now it's going to be interesting to see as we move forward. Come January, the Conservatives will get together and have a look at Pierre Poilievre. But you got to think, with those kind of numbers, I would assume he's going to be a shoe-in to continue on as leader. They'll hold that leadership review in January. And then the big question will be, and Pierre Poilievre was on this program last Friday with Evan Bray, and Evan asked him, so when do you think we're going to see the next federal election? And Pierre Poilievre said at that time he figures in about 2 years Canadians will be going back to the polls in a federal election. Interesting times that lie ahead. But as I say, we'll talk more about that with Brian Lilly coming up just after the news here this morning. Andrew Scheer will be my guest on the program just after 11 this morning. I just want to hearken back to the comment I made earlier about it being National Potato Day. I'm getting all these wonderful texts from people talking about how they like their potatoes. Here's one I'd never heard of before, and I just Googled it, and it looks lovely. Anna potatoes. It's a French dish. It looks a little bit to me like scalloped potatoes in a way. You slicely thin them and then put them in a frying pan, and they create almost like a potato pie. Might have to try that. You know, potatoes are great, aren't they? But after a while, you know, for me, I get a little bored of potatoes. So if you can come up with a new recipe, I might have to try that. Anna potatoes. Thanks to Jerry for texting that information in on our text line at 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. How are you finding getting around Regina these days? They've had a busy construction summer, and they're at the halfway point of the construction season for roadwork in Regina. So for our drivers in Regina who think, oh, this is going to be done soon, isn't it? Well, assuming the weather holds, a lot of this work may continue on to October or so, but it's been a bit of a challenge. The one I've noticed when I go to Regina, have driven down there numerous times over the past couple of years, the north end of Albert, just when you come into Regina off the main highway, off Highway 11, I don't know what that project is, but it seems like it's been going on forever. We'll get into that a little bit when we've got a guest from the city of Regina, Curtis Doney. Curtis is the deputy city manager for city operations, and he's going to give us an update on these roadway projects in Regina and how they may wrap up sooner or later. He'll join us just after 10:30 this morning. All part of the Evan Bray Show on CKOM and CJME.